Hey everyone, this is Tommy Smards, and I'm so glad you're joining with us today. If you're part of the South Towns family or new, we would love to connect with you on our many social media platforms or our website. If you're in the neighborhood, stop by. We invite you to worship with us live. I hope today's message will encourage you and inspire you to draw closer to Jesus. Let's get to the message.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Worship team, thank you so much. Were you blessed this morning with worship? There's just both services have just been such a sweet presence of God. And I hope and pray that those who are watching, they're experiencing that same thing in their homes. And so at this moment, I'm going to dismiss the children to Sunday school. Those who are in Sunday school, the teachers will meet you at the door. And we're going to give them a second to go back to their classrooms. Today is a special day. I've met my friend who's going to present the word this morning. I met him probably about 5 years ago or so at a pastor's meeting, and we became close friends. We're not just ministry partners doing and functioning in ministry, but we're friends. We pray for one another. We drink overpriced coffees in the coffee shop together, talking church and ministering and about what God's doing. We've been talking about it for a long time, about sharing each other's pulpit and bringing the word to each other's congregation. And today's a great day because my dear friend, Pastor Doug Ingersoll, who pastors Big Tree Wesleyan from way over on the Blaisdell side of Hamburg, he come all the way over here today to present the word, the gospel. And I'm going to tell you something. Pastor Doug is authentic. He's as real as you're going to meet somebody. He's uncompromised with the gospel. He loves Jesus. He loves people. And he loves to share the good news of the gospel. And today's message is, I really think, for all of us. And he'll say that maybe some of you, it's not for you today, but at one time you will need this message and this word. And so if you can do me a favor, if you can put your hands together and give Pastor Doug a warm SCC welcome as he comes this morning to present the gospel. Amen.
You may be seated. You may be seated. Yeah, I taught my kids to rise every time I entered the house. So I appreciate those kind words. I do pastor on the other side of the tracks in Blaisdell, New York. And Pastor Tommy, I don't know if you guys are aware of this. You have a good pastor. Yeah. I hang around a lot of pastors, and some are better than others, and you have a good one. I'm not judging. I'm just, speaking the truth. He loves God, and he loves you guys. What more do you want? And he preaches the word. He may not have this, that, or the other thing, but he loves God, and he loves you. What else is there? Yeah, and he's a good friend. He's probably a better friend to me than I am to him, but I appreciate him, and not only him, but also Bishop Tom and Pastor Shirley. And years ago, back in the mid-80s, I went into a building on Lakeview Road. I think it was Lakeview Road. And that was where this... Anyone been here that long? A few people? Oh, yeah. I was just a brand new Christian. I didn't know what to expect, man. And so it was pretty wild. Wild in a good way. Yeah, that was like a lifetime ago. I'll get to the word in a moment. I just want to tell you a little bit about myself before we get to the word. I have 4 grown children. I have 8 grandchildren. Almost 8. There's one in the womb. Yeah, give it up for grandchildren. They're way better than children. It's so easy. It's easier being a Christian now that my kids are out of the house. I have 4 grown children, 8 grandchildren, 1 wife. I have 1 wife, and we've been together since we were 16 years old. So that is a miracle in itself. And she's not here today because she hears me preach all the time. So she's like, praise God, I get to hear someone else. So she's at home there. So I'm going to share a word, and Pastor Tommy mentioned this. It's probably not for everyone because it's a word about worrying. And I know for some of you, you're probably sanctified to the point where you never worry. But it's a word for someone this morning. And that's my prayer, that if you are here this morning, and you struggle with worrying of any kind, I pray that you receive a word that will just free your heart, free your mind this morning. There's a scripture that says, cast your cares on him, Jesus Christ, because he cares for you. And my prayer is that as you cast your care, you cut the string. You guys go fishing before, right? You know, some of you go fishing. I don't, because it bores me to tears. But anyways, you know, I like casting. You know what I mean? I like casting and reeling in. And you know what it's like, you know, to worry is to cast but reel it back in. My prayer is that you cast these cares, these anxieties, these concerns upon Jesus Christ, and you just cut that string. Let me pray for you. Father, we pray for the folks here in this room. We pray for the people online, that you would speak a word in season, and that in speaking this word, our hearts and our minds would be set free. And just like you spoke to the wind and the waves, peace be still. In Jesus' name, amen. I was going to read a couple quotes on worry, but let me read this before I get to the Word of God. There's a bunch of them. You know, worry pulls shadows over today's sunshine. Worry is like a rocking chair. It gives us something to do, but it doesn't get us anywhere. I like this one of my personal favorites. Worry is the dark room where negatives are developed. I like that one. Worry is the dark room where negatives are developed. I must confess, I spend too much time in that dark room sometimes. Negatives are developed. There's another favorite, one more. Worry is a thin stream of fear trickling through the mind if entertained. There's a key. If entertained, it cuts a channel into which all other thoughts are drained. Drip, 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 drip. You're getting sleepy. No. That's what worry is, right? I'm not talking about a moment. We all have moments. I'm talking about a constant drip, drip, drip of worry that we entertain, and it just cuts a channel in our minds. And if you're not careful, you will flush down the toilet of worst-case scenarios. I've been there. It's not a good place. And it's not the place God would have you to live. I believe it was a great theologian, Bobby McFerrin. He said these words, "In every life, we have some trouble. But when you worry, you make it double. Double trouble when you worry." It's been said that worry never robs tomorrow of sorrow. It only saps today of its joy, and I've been there. How many of you know worry is a joy sapper? It's a joy sapper. Jesus is a joy giver, and what Jesus gives the world can't take away, but man, it'll try. The enemy will try to take that away. It's like tapping a tree, right? It's that time of year where we tap a tree and we get sap. You know, the enemy will come along and say, "Hey, let me tap this into you. Here you go. Come on, let's get that." And if we're not careful, it'll suck the joy right out of us. Sap the peace. Jesus said these words, "Take no thought." I love that. Take no thought. Take no thought for tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own, that's for sure. Take no thought. You know what worry does? Worry not only takes the thought, worry takes the thought and runs with it. That's what worry does. It's not just a thought that kind of comes in and out. It's a thought that comes in and you just run with it, and it just circles around your mind, flushing you down the toilet of worst-case scenarios. I've been there. It's not a good place. I'd love to stand up here today and say, this never happened to me. But I'm in church, and I promise Pastor Tommy I tell the truth. Amen. I love Jesus, but I'm brutally human. And so is Pastor Tommy. More so than me. Just this week, I worried about my 19-year-old grandson who was in a toxic, abusive, dysfunctional relationship. And I worry about him because I love him. We're going to read in Scripture, do not worry about your life. I'm not so much worried about my life. I worry about the lives of the people I love. And sometimes it's more than concern, more than a moment. It's the drip, 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 drip that keeps me up at night. Because when your loved one is in a bad situation and you seemingly are helpless and can't do anything about it, and you know he's going down the road that seems right, but in the end leads to destruction, keeps you up at night sometimes. Just a few months ago, I worried about my 33-year-old daughter, who, after two miscarriages, is now pregnant again, praise God. And she's like 7.5 months, so that is awesome. Awesome! But I'd love to tell you, when I found out she was pregnant for the third time, that I'd be like, yep, I am standing confident. I'd love to say that, but I'll be honest with you this morning. Can I be honest? Can I be real for just a minute? When I found out she was pregnant again, I hope she doesn't have another miscarriage. It's tough being human sometimes. Because it wasn't so much for me, but you know what it's like when you love people and something happens that breaks their heart, like two miscarriages, it breaks your heart. And I'm so happy that God's answering prayer and she's like 7.5 months. And we're going to have number 8. 8 is enough. I hope I'm not the only one who worries from time to time. I'm not talking about consistent lifestyle. I'm talking about moments. You have moments. I believe we all could raise our hand and say, we all have moments, because we are all human. If I'm the only one, I could just, we could stand for the benediction, we could all go home. And some of you are like, amen, let's do it. I don't think I'm the only one this morning. Jesus knew that worry was and remains part of the human experience. Jesus knew that from time to time our hearts are troubled. That's why he says, let not your hearts be troubled. You know why Jesus said that? Because he knew our hearts are troubled sometimes. Why does the Bible always say, do not fear, do not fear, do not fear? Because sometimes we fear. What's troubling your heart this morning? Think about it. What are you worried about this morning? Don't think about it too much, because I believe God has a word for you that will bring freedom and release. Amen. Jesus knew that in this world you will have trouble. He said that. But he didn't just drop the mic and walk off the stage. He didn't end it with that. In this world you're going to have trouble. See you later. In this world you're going to have trouble. Mark it down, but take heart. Be encouraged, child of God. I have overcome the world. And if you believe in me, you have the power of the resurrection living in you. And that resurrection power can give you victory over whatever worries your heart, whatever troubles your heart. In this world, you will have trouble, but that trouble doesn't have to be in you. I think worry is letting that trouble in. It'll come a knocking. Life is like that, right? Unexpectedly, it's like, here I am. Just the other day, I had a friend of mine battling with cancer. He had a carotid blowout, and trust me, it's as bad as it sounds. And I went to visit the family in the hospital, and they were worried. They're Christians. They're believers. They were worried. And so what is my role in that situation? As I enter a room full of worried people, people that are panicking, my role as a believer in Jesus Christ, as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, is to bring that Prince of Peace in the midst of panic. You know, when the world's hair is on fire because of everything that's happening, as Christians, we have almost a duty, a responsibility, and a privilege to be peace in the midst of panic. And we can only do it through the power and person of the Holy Spirit. So in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6, we're going to be looking at this morning quickly, we find Jesus teaching his disciples and the crowd. That's what's so cool about the Sermon on the Mount. That's what we call it. He's teaching the disciples and the crowd. So maybe this word about worry is more targeted towards the crowd and not so much his disciples. But let's face it, his disciples were a train wreck sometimes. They argued about who was going to be the greatest. It's like, how long must I be with you? They just didn't get it. We think, oh, the disciples were just awesome, perfect all the time. They weren't at all. They were a train wreck sometimes, much like you and me sometimes. Or I should just say, just much like me. Maybe, I don't know you. Maybe you're just a dumpster fire and not a train wreck. About halfway point, he begins to teach about worry. And what topic do you think he uses as a springboard to this teaching? In verse 24 of the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6, we read as follows. It's in the context of, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And you could stand for the reading of the Gospel. That'd be great. Verse 24, Matthew chapter 6, no one, and the emphasis here is absolutely no one. Absolutely no one can serve two masters. It can't be done. You can try it. It can't be done. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money, or mammon, stuff, materialism, possessions. You just can't do it. You can't serve both. You could be seated, thank you. You can't be fully devoted to God and fully devoted to your stuff. And there's a tension there. You know, you're going to have to serve somebody, as Bob Dylan said. Either Jesus is Lord and Master, or mammon, stuff, materialism, possessions is Lord and Master. You know, Jesus knew long before Notorious B.I.G., I think it's Pastor Tommy's favorite. More money, more problems. He knew that. He knew more money, more problems. He knew it. There's nothing wrong with money. Love of money. Money's great. But if you love money more than you love Jesus, not so great. More stuff, more problems. Jesus knew the danger of seed sown among thorns in Mark chapter 4. They hear the word, but what? The worries of this life. The worries of this life. Oh, the deceitfulness of wealth. The desires for what? Other things. The desires for other things come in, and what do? They choke the word. They choke the word, making it what? Unfruitful. That's what the enemy wants for us. The enemy wants to choke the word. He wants to do it this morning. Even as I preach, even as I deliver the word of God, he wants to choke that word out in your life. He wants to choke you out. The worries of this life, that'll do it. The desires for other things. The more you have, the more you have to worry about. That's not a word about people having things. But it is a warning flare, probing the condition of our hearts. That's what Jesus is all about, the condition of our hearts. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Where is your treasure this morning? Who is your treasure? For the position of our possessions reveal the condition of our hearts. The position of our possessions. Where on the top 10 with a bullet are your possessions in materialism? Is Jesus number one? Cannot serve both God and stuff. You'll be devoted to one and despise the other. And the words of Jesus are difficult sometimes because it's like, it's either this or that. It's like, well, you know, what about, like, you know, is there other, any other choices? Are there other choices? Nope, it's either this or that. You cannot go two ways at once. Try it. When you leave today, try to go two ways at once. You can't do it. Therefore, because of that, I tell you this. That's what's so great about Jesus. That's what the therefore is in verse 25. Therefore, what is it therefore? Well, it's therefore because I told you all this stuff about treasures in heaven and where your heart is, and you can't serve two masters. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. Don't do it. What you will eat, what you will drink, about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? I love that. Look at the birds. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father, what? Feeds them. Are you, and here's the question, are you not much more valuable than they? Much more, not just more, much more. Are you not much more valuable than these birds? I take care of these little birds. How much more am I going to take care of you? Don't worry. Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? No, but you could take some time off, that's for sure. Worry, man, it'll take some time off of your life. How many of you can testify to that this morning? Just me. Yeah, a couple of us. It'll take some time off. I'm worried about my grandson and worry about my daughter. Verse 28, and why do you worry about clothes? See the flowers. Look at the flowers. Look at the birds. Look at the flowers. The field that grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. And by the way, the lilies of Palestine, just the most beautiful flower. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more? There it is again, much more. He's the God of much more. Much more. Will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Now, Jesus doesn't pull many punches. And I will say this. All we need is a mustard seed faith, right? All we need is a mustard seed faith, a little faith in a big God, and we're good to go. You know? Yeah, it's true. It's true. And God gives measures of faith to each one of us. You know, even in a mustard seed, you know as well as I do, it is tiny, tiny, tiny. It is little faith. But if you have little faith in a big God, you a little faith. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans, people don't even believe in a personal God, run after these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. He knows. But I told Pastor Tommy in the first service, buts are big in the Bible. They are. Pay attention to the buts in the Bible. They're big. Small words have big meaning in the Bible. Buts and ifs. You know, do a word study of but God. You know, it's a great word study. But God. It's a game changer. Transitional statement. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be given to you as well. It's a win-win situation. Therefore, because of that, this. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will what? Worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Yeah, that's for sure. I love how Jesus follows the command, and it is a command, do not worry. He follows it with three questions. Is not life more than food and your body more than clothes? And the answer screams out, yes, life is so much more than that. Are you not more valuable than the birds? Yes, of course. Birds are cool and everything, but they're not made in God's image. You are. You are much more valuable than the birds, and he takes care of the birds. How much more is he going to take care of you? The third one, can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? No. May take some time off your life, actually. You see, back in the day on the road with Jesus, I'm sure if the disciples compiled a top 10 worry list, if there was like a top 10 worry list, what are the top 10 things you worry about, disciples? I'm sure on the list would be, hey, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? Because Jesus was basically homeless, you know. It's like, didn't know where they're going to stay. Hey, let's go, guys. I don't know. Where am I going to stay tonight? I don't know. I have no idea. Where are we going to eat? I don't know. I'm sure some of them worried about it. Today in the USA, you know, most people don't worry about these things. Some people do. Other parts of the world, they definitely do. You ever go on missions trip? You ever go to a third world country and everything like that? Trust me, there are people worrying about, what am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? What am I going to wear? But not here for most people. Worry points are different for us. So what do you worry about? I just came across a few things. Or not so much what are you worried about, but maybe it's easier to ask, like, what does the person next to you worry about? Maybe that's easier. You know, some people worry about money. I don't, because my wife takes care of everything. It doesn't mean that I, you know, put the handle off of, you know, being the head of the house and all that jazz. I don't do that, but she's better at it. I'd be a fool to not do it, or to do it. But I don't worry about money. I'm sure my wife does. Some people worry about their kids and grandkids. Some kids worry about the COVID thing, you know what I mean? A lot of people, we don't realize what this whole thing is doing to children. We need to pray that God would guard their hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, that the peace of God would come to our children. Amen. Amen. Now, I remember when I was a kid, you know, I didn't worry about a whole lot. I worried about public speaking. I was real shy. Look at me now, it's super weird. I was worried about maybe a bomb falling on us. You know, I grew up in the 70s. We'd have these bomb things at school. We'd like duck down in the hall or under our desk. And I always struggled with that logic. I thought, even as a child, okay, this is a bomb thing, bomb drill. And this desk is going to protect me. You know, if the bomb hits this school, I'm going to live because this is a real sturdy desk because it's the 70s. It's not the particle board. We did weird things back in the 70s, I'm telling you. But the things I worried about as a kid, now, man, it's tough now. Kids are worried about all kinds of stuff. Some people are worried about the future. Some people are worried about the election. What's the outcome of the election? Some people are going to worry about what's going to happen after that. That's all I'm going to say about that. Some people are worried about, you know, the Bills game. Are the Buffalo Bills finally going to beat the Patriots? And I say before you boldly, hear the word. I didn't say hear. I almost said hear the word of the Lord. Just hear my word. The Buffalo Bills will win today. And we will finally put an end to the terror reign of the Patriots. And all God's people said amen. Some people worry about health. You know, what's that biopsy going to show? A dear friend of mine, she had double mastectomy, breast cancer. And, you know, she goes back for every 5 years or something like that, or every 3 years. And I know she worries every time she goes back. I'd love to say that, oh, no, she doesn't worry, no problem. She's human. She believes in Jesus, loves Jesus, but is it going to come back? It's not that she's speaking it into existence or anything. It's just that she's human and she's worried. So I'm hoping I'm speaking reality to you this morning. These are very real problems and real situations, but we serve and love a real God.
That's right.
Who's able to meet all of our needs in Christ Jesus. So look at the birds, look at the flowers. Let's do that. See what they have to teach us this morning. See the flowers. I love Jesus. He doesn't just say, hey, you know, don't worry. It's like telling a child, go to sleep when they're not tired. You ever try to do that? Go to sleep. Just because you said it doesn't mean they're going to do it. And Jesus is the same way. Just because he says don't worry doesn't mean his children aren't going to worry. This was so great about Jesus. He doesn't just say, don't worry, drop the mic and leave. He says, don't worry, but then he says, do this. See these flowers? Look at those birds. I take care of them. I clothe them. I feed them. How much more will I take care of you? Much more. You are so valuable. Much more valuable than birds and flowers. You know why? Because birds and flowers, they're not created in his image. You are. And here's a crazy thing. There's only one you. That's it. Just one. My wife is so happy about that. Praise God, there's just one you. A world of more than one Doug is just too much to fathom. It's just a beautiful thing, isn't it? Just marvel at that with me for one moment. I don't know if it's true, but they talk about the fingerprints, how every fingerprint is different. There's not one fingerprint the same. I don't know about you, but that speaks that you are special. I don't know if it's true, and I hate to talk about it, but they say the same thing about snowflakes. That's not a political thing. I'm talking about real snowflakes. You know what I mean? Is it true that no one snowflake is the same? Just for the sake of the message, just say yes. Oh, yeah. Isn't that amazing? It's amazing. I don't know about you, but it points to a creator. It points to someone greater. Does it not? You ever see a snowflake like in a mug? It's perfect. There's very few snowflakes that are all like, you know, they're very symmetrical. Have you seen them, or is it just me? It's amazing. It points to God. It points to this creator that says, hey, you are much more valuable to me than birds and flowers. Don't worry. Look at the birds. See the flowers. I take care of them. How much more will I take care of you? How much more valuable are you to me? I did this at an earlier service. I wasn't going to do it again, but I'll do it because I think it's pretty cool. I know a lot of people really struggle with their worth because life has been rough. And is there a young person here or a millennial that needs money? Anyone? Yeah, there's a couple kids. Can I have a kid up here? Don't worry, I won't make us anything. Come on up. $20. You want this $20? I'm sure. Well, yeah, come on up. I see that girl. Come on up. Yeah. Let's give her a hand. Come on down. You're the next contestant. All right, we did not rehearse this. Okay, you can stay there. I don't have a mask on. Okay, what is it? Is that real? It's real, right?
It's real.
Yeah. Okay, would you like this $20? Good answer. How about now? You still want it? Why would you go like this? Before you really wanted it, why? How come you don't really want it now? Now it's worthless. You crumbled it. Is that true?
No.
Even though this $20 bill is wrinkled, crinkled, stepped upon, it's still worth $20. Would you like these $20? I want to speak this word to some of you. Some of you don't need to receive it, but some of you do. Some of you may have loved ones in your life. Life has been hard, whether because of addiction or whatever. And they're like that $20 bill. I want you to know, in the eyes of God, they're still worth as much as you. They're still worth as much as any other human being.
Amen.
Because we are all bought with the same price.
That's right.
There's no blue light specials. There's no like champion t-shirts with the pocket all crooked. You know, I grew up in the 70s. Yeah. And even if there are, God values champion t-shirts as much as he values super expensive t-shirts that Tommy buys. You must pay him well. Notice worry is equated with little faith, and I don't want to skip over that. Do I have time? Is that okay? Worry is equated with little faith in verse 31 and 32 and 30. If and when you're all wound up in worry, you're acting like a person who doesn't even believe there is a God. You know, even the pagans run after these things. And they don't even believe in a personal God. In a world where people are running after all these things, in a world of misplaced devotion, in a world of shallow values producing hollow victories, in a world where priorities are all out of line, and worry is choking out peace and joy. How do you, Christian, here's the question, how do you, Christian, sleep at night? Do you have a worried mind racing, racing, racing? Or is the peace of God guarding your heart and mind in Christ Jesus? The perception is that there is more to worry about today than ever before. I don't know if that's reality, but that's the perception. There's more to worry about today than ever before. It might be true. I wonder, when people see me, when people see you, do they see worry or do they see Jesus? Do they see panic or do they see peace? I love to stand before you and say, oh yeah, every single time they see peace. No, not really. There's been times in my life where things come into my family, boom! I love to say my first response is just all, bless God. When my daughter came home pregnant at 16, and I'm the pastor, and you could judge me and say I don't know how to, you know, manage my house and all that stuff. Or you could just say, hey, that happens because people are human, and I don't make decisions for my 16-year-old daughter. When she came home pregnant, I'd love to say before you today that I just handled it with grace and peace and love and understanding. I'm not going to get into details. Let's just say I didn't handle it well. That's what's cool about God, though. Just because I didn't handle that situation well, he doesn't kick me off the team. He doesn't take my pastor card. You're done. Eventually, once I got it together, it was a moment. We all had moments. Once I got together, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and helped me out. I had to go to my daughter, apologize. You know, some of you know what that's like. It's a beautiful thing, though, right? I don't know why I shared that, but you know, take it for what it is. Do they see worry or do they see Jesus? Do they see panic or do they see peace? We have an opportunity in this day of worry and concern and panic to be peace and to point people to the Prince of Peace. Do they see that you're no different than the people who don't even believe in God, or do they see peace in the midst of panic that points them to the Prince of Peace? Do you believe that your Heavenly Father cares for you much more than birds and flowers this morning? Much more. We're talking supersize. Much more. It's the less than and greater argument of Jesus. We got the birds and the flowers. They're awesome, but you are much more. You see, this is comfort and consolation, knowing that he knows what you need and knowing that he cares. How many of you know that God cares for you? He calls us to cast our cares on him. Why? Because he cares for us. Cast the care this morning. Cut the rope. Cut the string. I want to sing this. I'm not going to sing.
You don't want that.
It's a hymnal, by the way. I don't know. For you young people, you know, it's got hymns in it. I know who holds tomorrow. I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray, especially today. I don't worry over the future, for I know what Jesus said. And today, I'll walk beside him, for he knows what is ahead. I don't know. Yeah. Praise God for that, right? We don't know what's around the corner, but he does. He's the God that goes before us. He's the God that has our back. He's the God that lives in us. I don't know about tomorrow. It may bring me poverty. I don't think so, but it may. I have no idea. But the one who feeds the sparrow is the one who stands by me. And the path that is my portion, it may be through the flame or flood. But his presence goes before me. And I'm covered with his blood. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know. I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. That's a hymn and his truth. Stick with me. Knowing is half the battle. The other half is seeking. In verse 33, we hear the word of the Lord, but seek first what? His kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things will be given to you as well. It's a win-win situation. While pagans run after all these things, Christian, you run after God's kingdom first. It's not that these things aren't important. They are important. It's just that these things are not the thing. This one thing I do, I press on to lay hold of that which Christ Jesus laid hold of me, to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. A lot of us don't like that part. One thing. It's like that Billy Crystal movie, you know. Jack Palance, I think. One thing. And that one thing is not a thing, it's a person. It's the person of Jesus Christ. And it's his kingdom first. I believe in these days God is calling his children home. For some children, back home. Some of you may remember, maybe you've been a Christian a long time, but you remember when this was everything, man. You couldn't get enough. You couldn't get enough of feeding on the word. Now, some of you may remember those prayer times. Now? Come home! Like in a far-off land. Come home to the Father. He will welcome you with what? Open arms. He won't be like, where have you been? What have you been doing? He was just thrilled to have you home. Yeah, that's the God we have. He probably won't even lecture you. He's just so thrilled to have you home. As I get older, people say, hey, you know, what do you want for Christmas? And I give them a list of a bunch of cool stuff. But if I'm honest, what I really want, and it sounds really corny, but I just want my kids home. And that's, how much more does God want his kids home? If I want my kids home, how much more does God want his kids home? It's pretty cool. I'm going to end real soon. I don't know what time you guys get out of here. I'm going to edit a few things. I will say this. The solution to our worry is devotion to your God. This is not an exhaustive sermon on worry. This is just in part. But the solution to our worry is devotion to your God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Afresh and anew, I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Jesus. All to Jesus. Once again, all is like but and if, a very small word with big meaning. It doesn't say, I surrender some. I surrender some. I'm just going to keep a little bit to myself. If you're stubborn like me, it is hard to sing, I surrender all. Which is crazy when you think about it. Because when we surrender all to God, that's when you live the life abundant and free. So I'm going to close in prayer this morning. And I want to encourage you. I was going to close and pray for the things that you're worried about, but I believe this morning that the solution, or part of the solution to your worry, is your devotion to God. So I'm going to pray about your devotion to God. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all this other stuff will be given to you. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this sacred moment, and we praise you so much for your word. And we pray your scriptures. Do not be anxious about anything. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So, our Father, we come before you with a thankful heart, and we lay at your feet our concerns, our worries, our cares, and we cast them upon you, and we cut the string. We leave them at the foot of the cross. We leave them before your throne of grace, and we receive the help that we need. And we receive the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, and it will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Look at me for just 1 minute. Don't let that scripture, if you've heard it a long time, just skip off your heart. That's what happens in church a lot. We read familiar scripture, and it's like skipping stones off of Lake Erie. Allow the scripture not skip off your heart. Allow it to sink in. As we are not anxious about anything, as we give everything to the Lord in prayer with thanksgiving, the peace of God transcends understanding. It guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It posts guards. So when worry comes a knocking, hey, let me in. When anxiety comes a knocking, hey, hey, let me in. Concern, hey. Drip, 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 drip. We got guards saying, no, not today. Not today, worry. Not today, anxiety. God is the king of my life. And it's in Him and Him alone that we have peace. So receive this peace this morning. Leave this place unburdened, free in heart, free in mind, because of Jesus. God bless you.
Amen. Were you blessed by that word this morning? You know, you guys hear me always say on Sundays, take notes. So I was scribbling some notes between both services. But let me encourage you with this before we take our offering from the message from Pastor Doug. The solution to our worry is in our devotion to God. That may sound like a simple sentence, but the depth of that is unbelievable. That all that we face in everyday life, the solutions that you and I can find to overcome those circumstances, those situations, is found and released in the devotion and surrender to our God. I love that. Because how many times have we gone saying, well, I got this. I can handle this. I have the right answer, right? But the reality is all that we need is in Jesus. I know that can sound churchy. And you guys, I can sound churchy at times, but you know what? Churchy sometimes is so true that we need to talk churchy. We need to talk churchy. And then if someone that you're talking to about churchy stuff doesn't understand, explain it to them. Very simple. But the solution to any worry and concern is found in Jesus and is released in the connection to our devotion and surrender to Him. Oh, take that nugget home that He shared with us today. If you got to write it on a piece of paper, stick it on your refrigerator, Whatever you do, don't let that depart today from you. Do not let that depart from you, because there's freedom in that. Amen? So, well, I know I was blessed. Let's just thank Pastor Doug one more time for that word and season. You know, when you in ministry, I'm going to just share something for 30 seconds. In ministry, it can be lonely at times. But when you find people and you connect with them, we've made a connection. And we pray for you. Guys know he prays for you in this church, just like I pray for him in his church, because we're a kindred spirit. And it's a beautiful thing. And I was so excited that he was able to share with you today this word. And so I want to encourage you tonight at the Facebook release or recast or whatever we call it. I don't even know what I had a million things going through my head. I'm at work in the media department. What do we call that Facebook thing we do when we reshow it tonight at 7? What's it called? Rebroadcast, recast. Anyone know? Oh, no, no one. I'll get all. You don't know what? Y'all got Facebook. Stop it. Whatever it may be, 7 o'clock, check it out again. Because you missed a lot today. I missed a lot today. And I sat through 2 services. I got more at the second one than I did the first one. But the third time, let me get more. So watch it again tonight. Take some notes. Chew on those nuggets that we're given. Amen? Let's stand to our feet. We're going to dismiss this morning and get you out of here to go have a beautiful day with your family or your friends or just to stand in front of that TV today. Do not hesitate to lay hands on Jesus. We are in first place, you know. Jesus, we can. Oh, yeah. Oh, our tithes and offerings. It's an honor and a privilege to be a giver. You know that? We should never take giving lightly. We should never be ashamed to talk about giving. We should never take it lightly. Because as Pastor said, we serve a great big God. And he can do so much with that portion that we return to the storehouse, as the scripture declares. And let me encourage you to even have a breakthrough in your giving. Give joyfully. Get excited to be a giver. Don't hold it back. Let it go. We're just managers anyways. We've been talking about stewardship. Stewarding our money is part of our of being money is and stewarding is what we're called to do. We're called to do it right. And so don't begrudgingly like, oh, I got to give my tithe and offering today. I'll say, you know what? What an honor and privilege, God, because you've blessed me and now I can give back. And so let me pray a blessing upon it and thank the Lord for allowing us to give it this morning. Amen. Father, I thank you for today. Oh, Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, we pray blessings upon Pastor Doug. We pray blessings upon his church, upon his leadership teams. Father, we pray an increase in every area from those who would attend to the financial situations. Father, we pray increase of the effectiveness of them right there in Blaisdell to reach those who have not made decisions for you. Father, I declare your hand would continue to rest upon him and his family and his ministry. Father, we pray for that newborn grandchild that's just around the corner, health and wholeness in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for our offering. Lord, thank you that we have this amazing opportunity to worship you through our giving. God, we know where it came from, but God, I pray a blessing upon it. Lord, bless it, multiply it, let it overflow. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 Well, thanks for being here today, and it's been a joy.
Hey, good morning, everyone, and thank you for tuning into today's service. I hope that the worship and the word really spoke life to you and encourage you to keep moving forward. You know, here at Southtowns, we love to pray for people. And so on our website, there's a prayer request tab where you can give us your prayer request and know that our pastoral staff and our leadership team will be praying for you and all your needs, whether it's individually or your family or even a friend. And so we encourage you to do that. You know, a lot of people ask, Pastor, how can I get more involved at Southtowns, even though I may not attend or I attend frequently or I live in another state? I say two things.
I ask you to pray for our ministry, that God's hand would continue to move and we'd be able to make a giant impact in our community, continually giving life in every aspect that we can. And also, there are people who want to become financial partners. That's very simple. Right on our website, there's a Donate Now tab where you can click on that and you can donate funds to help us continue to grow the kingdom of God here in the Hamburg region. And so once again, thank you so much for being a part of today's service. And I look forward to possibly meeting you live when you're here with us on a Sunday morning, either at our 8:15 service or our 10 o'clock service. You have a wonderful week. God bless you, and I hope to see you soon.